Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two rolls along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer filling in for One Bills Live today and tomorrow. Talking, well, the upcoming trade deadline for the Bills and what they need to do, where they need to fix their team, where they actually can live without fixing. You know, what can you hide? What can you live with? What do you have to live with? I think it's a curious conversation because I think either way you go, offense or defense, I'm not really going to fight you on it. I can understand both sides. For me, with the offense, you got the all-world quarterback in the last two playoffs. You've ended by not scoring the football. You've had the chance. You just haven't been able to do it. And you've had to kind of go to the well a few times
and yet at the
to
same
bring in
time,
a wide receiver to add to that room.
And yet at the same time, the most recent playoff loss was the first time that the Chiefs had scored more than 30 points all year.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened against your team again.
And that has been a constant in the playoffs is that a top 15-plus unit all year goes in the playoffs and they can't get timely stops. They're not getting the takeaways that they sort of live by. And to be fair, you're also seeing that these last 2 weeks when they're not getting the takeaways, all of a sudden that bend don't break defense looks like it's breaking.
It's breaking a lot more consistently than it used to.
And in many ways, it's penalties. It's the lack of tackling. It's a few things. I look at it a lot, mainly on the defense, a talent issue. However, with it being an offensive league, I think you can somewhat survive with a less than stellar defensive unit, especially with we don't know what they'll look like when Hoyt and Ogunjobi are inserted back into the lineup. We've only had Ed Oliver for 2 games. And he has 2 sacks in those 2 games. He's
not a mistake at this point.
You're also seeing more of Deion Walker, and he keeps ascending. Not perfect.
He is not perfect.
He did well in the run defense, and they were still bad.
But that's the thing is, like, especially with that game against Atlanta, Oliver and Walker have to do, like, it's a workman-like performance. And yes, they do get gashed. But you're playing 3 defensive tackles all night.
Yeah.
79% and 80% snap share for each of them respectively is tough.
Yeah.
For a defensive tackle, so tough. Like, your job is running into people right away and, like, fighting with them the entirety of your game. That's mm-hmm. your game. You need a breather.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, like, it just, it's one of those things where, like, even, like, offensive linemen, like the pass pro thing, like, you, like, they get to kick step back and everything. Like, you're engaging with players, but if a play eventually goes away from you, offensive linemen don't have to continue running. Defensive players, you should keep running.
Yeah, and to be fair, when you're Walker 6'7", over 300 pounds, it's a big body to move a lot for that night.
It's a lot of snaps for that, mm-hmm. and they did a lot of work. I really commend the two of them for the performance that they had, especially with Walker having 4 tackles for loss in that game, in a game where they do get gashed. But I mentioned
he also batted a pass down at the line.
Timely stops, though.
Mm-hmm.
Walker and Oliver were both putting those up in the second half and kind of spearheading, this sounds familiar for Ed Oliver, spearheading an opportunity for the offense to take over.
And unlike opening night, the offense doesn't get done.
Correct.
And so, and you can even go back to that AFC Championship last year. The Bills do hold Kansas City to a field goal. The offense has a chance to go win it. And instead it has to be ultimately a prayer ball situation from Allen to Kincaid. I mean, Kincaid probably should come up with it. I'm not denying that. But he's running around and it kind of has to be, you know, throw it up in the air. Let's see what happens.
But also,
it almost works. But
also, I loved watching Cam Newton's breakdown of that play. It's Steve Spagnuolo out-coaching Joe Brady in that moment because they line up in a way where you have to identify the mic as Drew Tranquil. And the corner is going to be coming off. But you have to identify that mic because he is your closest threat.
Yeah.
Tranquil drops, corner blitzes, he's hot. And the Bills don't have a hot route for it. Allen does what he can, extends the play, and puts it in Kincaid's neighborhood.
That is almost so cool. Seems to be a continuing problem, though, of not having a hot route with a blitz. Just getting the ball out. A little frustrating. 803-0550, the number two call. More of your thoughts on what you want to see the Bills do to maybe right the ship as they're on the bye week. They are still, though, it can be said, 4-2. And they are still in a pretty good spot, all things considered, after dropping two straight games. Though, they are now second in the AFC East. We'll go back to the phones here. Mike is up first this segment. Mike, how are we doing?
Great. Great show. Always enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And thanks, I know you were just talking about it, but I noticed that in the fourth quarter, maybe even in late third, Walker was coming out every third down, and they were going to Solomon. And I understand, you know, trying to snap count, playing with only three tackles. But he might have been able to push the pocket to help an edge rusher. He might have been able to knock down a pass, or maybe he might have been able to actually come in for a sack. So maybe couldn't once or twice when third down leave him in there. And the number two point about that is you're taking the guy off the field after, first and second, running him off the field, and then when the opponents convert, which they always do, you're running him back on for after third down again. So it's like, you know, if it happens four times, you know, you're making your defensive lineman, who's probably one of your most effective pass rushers, he's doing cardio. He's running 200 yards extra wind sprints to get on the field. So I just wish that we had a little bit more next-level coaching where they say, hey, let the kid have a chance on third down. He's penetrating. And after the game, McDermott made a point of like, well, he made some big mistakes and really learned some lessons tonight. And I said, well, I wish Bobby Babbage would learn a lesson to be like, you know, change it up a little bit. Give a guy a shot on third down, especially a guy who's been one of our – I mean, I think he's been one of the top three defensive linemen. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. He's been one of the better defensive linemen in the league, especially when you look at rookies at his position, defensive tackle. He's been kind of awesome from the word go for the Bills. I mean, you remember in camp as well, Bills offensive linemen were being asked, like, who's been flashing, like, before they could even get the word out. Deion Walker.
And
who coined it? Was it Ed Oliver that called him a dancing bear? I mean, like, the team has loved him from the word go. I think I understand where Mike's point is on that, though, of it's third down. Maybe just keep the guy in there who's been playing really well to try to get off the field rather than maybe playing the long game there.
That's circumstance.
Right.
I'm not going to really harp too much on that one because, again, he played 80% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's already playing pretty much all of them anyways.
Probably dogged.
Yeah.
A singular breather, even if only for a play. That is 40 seconds of being able to at least get some water, breathe some air, and have a moment.
You do wonder, too, with how well Daquan Jones is playing this year.
I think
and
that.
And you get Ed Oliver back, if he doesn't pick up an injury
if
before
Daquan
the
Jones,
game starts.
Yeah, if Daquan Jones is not hurt in warm-up, that scenario does not happen, Mike. It's you get to rotate him in. You probably do put him in on third down, actually. Like, that's probably the opposite. Daquan plays first or second down. You get Deion Walker in there on third down. As a matter of fact, let him try to pin his ears back. That one is just what I'd call unfortunate circumstance and what was probably the weirdest week in terms of pre-game injuries.
Because you had two in the Colts game.
Two in the Colts game. There was one in the Bills game. It just – all sorts of everything. And then also, like, whatever is happening with Josh Simmons with Kansas City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, like, pre-game shenanigans, I guess I'll call it, to where you can't do anything about that other than go, hey, let's get him a breather if we can. Get Jordan Phillips in here. At least get him a chance to take a moment. 80% of the snaps for a defensive tackle is high.
It's very, very high. And I think it should be important to bring up, at least for a few more weeks, it's like his sixth NFL game. So I think they also don't want to put too much on a rookie now where maybe he blows a play and because he's tired, Bijan's off to the races again. And the little, the slow march that they're having to try to come back into the game falls apart. But I will say, throughout the year, Deion Walker has been the shining light, not just on the defense, this draft class as well. Jackson Hawes has been great in his very specific role for the offense, and that's been awesome. But in a draft class where your first-round pick is injured and you haven't seen him yet, and you haven't seen him for months now at this point, it was early in camp when he gets hurt. TJ Sanders also got hurt, but really wasn't doing much. And Landon Jackson, only recently, kind of due to circumstances, getting a game day jersey, but when he's playing, he's not doing anything. Walker has been the shining light to that class and has been at least been something positive. And I remember us talking towards the beginning of camp going like, look, I'm not expecting too much from Walker Sanders. It'd be unfair because they're rookies and it's a second and a fourth round pick. They've got to work around the vets and it's got to be a symbiotic unit. Walker has spat in the face of that and has instead right. been a guy where we're all sitting there going, can he play one tech? Can he sit next to Ed Oliver?
Can he be next to Ed Oliver?
And cause hell. And in your first taste of it, while you're still waiting for potentially your best run defender to come back in Michael Hoyt, it was a really good sign. I know they gave up a lot in the run game, and that's not ideal.
It's also – my thing is once they get past the first level, it's
– that's where the damage is really getting
ugly,
done.
It gets ugly, actually.
That's where the damage is getting done.
And so I went ahead and I got curious about something. I was like, let's look at defense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Let's tackle snap shares because he is a rookie who was coming off of a back injury, by the way. So, yeah, playing 80% of the snaps for the first time in your career is going to be something. And I looked at it and I'm like, okay, who's a player that I can look at this year to see snap shares? Who's a good defensive tackle in this league? I thought Vita Vea.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy.
I was going to say very similar body builds. Yep.
Big boy. He has played 80% of the snaps twice this year.
Okay.
But he's also an established veteran in this league. But even he is not getting over 80% commonly.
It is probably much more close games. We need our best players in there.
Oh, they play a lot of close games.
Tampa's been in a lot of close games.
That's kind of just been what they do. Braden Fisk.
Yep.
Last year with the Rams.
For Rams, yeah.
He was a fantastic addition for them. He has yet to play even 70% of his snaps in any game this year. It is something you want to have a healthy rotation at defensive tackle. So, again, I think we went on this point long enough, but I just wanted to be able to show the fascination on this. But it's not commonplace to have two D tackles playing 80% of the game.
No, and it happened because of a strange circumstance. I thought they would have. I know Nate Geary's talked a lot about this, especially in the post game and when he does overtime as well. Greg Rousseau, who did a lot of work at the University of Miami in the interior, I thought there was a good chance that maybe they would move him there.
Right.
To Daquan's out. We need to do something, and they kind of never did.
I think that's also based on Greg Rousseau's supposed to be really good at setting the edge,
and we need him against Bijan.
We need him there.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. Rich is up next. Rich, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. You know, my biggest problem with that last game and the team overall is, look, it's Brady, all right? Babich had an injury-riddled defense. He's, like, putting things together with duct tape and barbed wire. He's got, you know, I love Trey White, man. Great person, but he is a shell of himself. And in the second half, making adjustments – basically just shut Atlanta down and gave the offense multiple opportunities to win mm-hmm. that game. The one person I'm really pissed off at is Brady. He came in with a crappy game plan and then made no adjustments at halftime to address the blitz. I don't ever remember seeing any type of hot read or a dump off or, you know, getting Cook into the passing game. Like I said, Bean. This guy needs to be held accountable. I think he's been given a free ride for too long. Draft picks have been questionable. Free agency's been questionable. And I'm sick and tired of this organization putting the entire weight on Josh Allen by going to the bargain aisle to go find wide receivers and not giving him any talent to play with. You know, Mahomes has plenty of weapons to go to. And yet, poor Josh Allen is stuck back there. It's like, hey, Josh, if we get blitzed, you need to run. Hey, Josh, we got crappy receivers that can't get open. So you need to force balls into small windows, and if you get picked off, it's your fault. You know, I'm sick and tired of Bean getting a free ride, and I think Brady needs to pull his head out and start coming up with some better game plans. Thanks, guys.
Rich, thanks for the call. Rich fired up today on a Thursday. I understand the sentiments, though. I have been somebody that has talked about Bean's misses in the draft, especially free agency. I get a little leery of once you pay the quarterback big money. Then the drafts become that much more important because it's cheap labor. It sounds awful when you put it like that, but that's what it is.
You need to find your ways mm-hmm. to exploit when you are paying a quarterback that salary. You need to find ways to properly recognize the bargain bin and succeed there. Mm-hmm. But you need to, more importantly, get stars through the draft. This is something you and I have started to get on this a decent amount of time ago now, where it is about the lack of stars and superstars that are drafted to this team outside of Josh Allen and James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
It is mostly good to great players who are now kind of like, you know, a little bit of a decline going on. Like, I look at Taron Johnson.
Right.
He has not been good this year.
No, and his size has become a problem the last 2 years. He often gets bullied in those matchups.
And it's just one of those things where he's not the all-pro corner that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the lack of a star defensive end. Von Miller is signed, and it was working until he got hurt. But outside of that, what have you added at defensive end that has really sold me on him, on Bean's draft acumen on the defensive line? Well, this is a guy who brought Trent Murphy in. People don't forget.
But like that's where you bring up Greg Rousseau, like you mentioned, like edge setter. But they signed him to a deal that the expectation was he was going to take last year, and we talked about this on the Extra Point Show a lot. He looked to be an ascending player. Yeah. A lot of the underlying statistics really liked Rousseau. However, you know, we also kind of pointed out, yeah, a lot of his sack though production, funny enough, was in week one against Arizona. He had kind of like an Ed Oliver game. He has three sacks, dominates, looks at, there he is. Here comes the all-pro year for Greg Rousseau. He goes like six games without another sack. Mm-hmm. And he sort of picks up to the end of the year, but he has his worst game at the end. But it made sense to sign him back. He looked to be an ascending player. He has not been that so far this year.
Right.
AJ Epenesa, while his pressure rate is very good, he's kind of a nice secondary piece to have. Every team's going to need him, but he can't be your second best pass rusher.
But the defensive ends, mm-hmm. for the entirety of Bean's tenure here, have been secondary players or chip in.
Well, I brought this up. I don't know if I've said this on air, but I know we've talked about it. Since 2019, he's drafted one Pro Bowler. And I know it's the Pro Bowl, but for a team that wins 11 to 13 games every year, you'd think fans would know their players and would vote them in. I'm not saying Bills fans. I'm talking nationally. Their one Pro Bowler is James Cook. Now, they've had a few more that have pieced in, like Connor McGovern's a free agent acquisition, but he's an alternate. Deion Dawkins is not a Bean pick.
Right.
And even that offensive line they had last year, you'd think maybe their young ascending guard, Osiris Torrance, would get some call for that. Spencer Brown. No.
Nope.
And so that's my biggest issue. It's not necessarily that Pro Bowlers mean everything. It's not that. But it is a way to look at how they're drafting, how they're adding talent, and they haven't done it, specifically at the edge rusher position. But as you mentioned, the safeties. Taylor Rapp is supposed to maybe be an heir apparent to Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. He has not been that. Cole Bishop, we're kind of waiting to see on that. Cornerback with Christian Benford. They signed him to the extension. He has not looked good this year. Most of their contract extensions have not looked good this year.
He played better against Atlanta, against Drake London. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. Like, and safety is another thing. Like, those additions, they're McDermott's.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We are going to take a little bit of a break from football talk as the Sabres had a nice win last night, 8-4 over Ottawa. It's their first win on the year, and boy,
also known as outscoring the Ravens.
Yeah, and boy, did they make up for not having a lot of goals in their first three games. We'll talk with Travis Yost coming up next. Get more on kind of the start of this year and maybe what this win means for the Sabres going forward. Their next game is on Saturday at home against the Florida Panthers. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, filling in for One Bills Live, and this is WGR.
Sabres will park it in behind Levy Marilainen, who turns it over. Here's a chance. Oh, and Marilainen doesn't have it. Here's a shot. Scores! Tie game! McLeod ends up with the puck and buries it in the back of the net, and we're tied at two.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. One of two Ryan McLeod goals from last night, and McLeod was one of three players to have two goals last night. He, along with Jack Quinn and Jason Zucker, the other goal scorers were Alex Tuck and then Yuri Kulik buried an empty netter. It was very much a night of many celebrations for Sabres fans. I was in the building last night. The crowd was very, very good for a midweek game, especially for a team that was 0-3 going into it. They danced around potentially losing it.
They did mess around with that to open the third period. And a well-called timeout by Lindy Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to be hyperbolic, probably saved their season.
I think almost definitely.
The second period they had, if you choke that.
Job.
Yeah. But also, think about context of how.
Uh-huh.
If you had a second period like that and then you choked it, there are things that are unforgivable. That's one of them.
8-4 win for the Sabres. And for more on the start of the season, especially last night's win as well, we go to the Western Hotline. Travis Yost joins the show of TSN.
Travis, by the way, last time I talked to you, we had tons of dreams of like destinations for players to go in an off season. Sadly, Travis, those remain dreams, unfortunately.
One day the dream's going to be I'm coming up to play for the Sabres in Buffalo. And it just doesn't seem like that dream is here today quite yet, but maybe around the corner.
None of the league had fun with it either, Travis. Like, everyone took the fun out of our ideas, and I'm still mad at the league for that.
$17 million is hard to say no to.
Yeah, I know, it's one of the better ones.
So, Travis, last night, I don't know, you've seen some Sabres fans. Last night, going into it, the vibes have been very low, obviously. The team was 0-3. They can't score on the power play. Everything looks bad. And while it is only one game, and it is against Ottawa and a backup goalie, man, that felt, I think, for a lot of us, very cathartic to see.
To say the least. I spent the morning on Twitter or X or whatever it's called. I was watching a little bit. I watched a little bit of the Mammoth game last night, and I was watching Paterka, and I'm like, man, he just fits seamlessly into this lineup. Made a comment like, I think Utah's going to win out on this deal. And honestly, like, that was not a negative point. And I've made, I don't know, 2 trillion negative Buffalo Sabres comments in the last 10 years. But this wasn't one of them, and yet I had to spend 2 hours defending myself. Like, hold on. Josh Jones is a great player. Kesselring, he's getting into the lineup. Like, TBD, could be a win-win type trade. But, yes, I could tell literally from 2,000 miles away that the pressure cooker is on max velocity, and they needed last night. I watched that game. I watched the replay of the game this morning against the Senators. And, Ottawa has a backup goalie in net, but that's still very much I think Ottawa is going to be on the right side of the playoff curve. They're certainly not defending like a playoff-caliber team right now, but that's a fairly talented side over there that Buffalo took care of. And so I don't think there's anything to rinse away with an 8-4 win over a otherwise game team. It's not just the frustration of the many years and the rebuilds and we're looking just for anything to sink our teeth into. I mean, to start the year, not just to go 0-3 off the rip. I mean, what were they outscored, 10-2? I mean, they weren't really even competitive games. And, if you're a diehard Sabres fan, you watch the first few games, you're like, what am I going to be doing in the middle of January when, Bill season's done? It's in the peak of winter sports, and you're staring there, and you're like, well, I guess I'll throw the Sabres game on. You want to hope that they're at least in the playoff race and not, 15 games in trail like they typically are. So I last night, one step in the right direction. I think they got Florida next up, a tall order to say the least, but let's see if they keep this thing moving along.
Travis, I mean, you mentioned like Sabres fans looking at January. I was looking last night with a twinkle in my eye, Auburn and Oklahoma State playing an exhibition game in college basketball, going, baby, we're right around the corner. I mean, I think for many of us, it really was needed. And something I liked last night too, of course, scoring on the power play is big, but it wasn't necessarily that the big stars were the one, putting the puck in the net. It wasn't a 4-goal game from Tage Thompson where you're like, yeah, he's awesome. But the rest of the lineup I'm concerned about. Like Benson, in his first game of the year, 4 assists. I think it took him like 8 or 11 games last year to get to that total. Ryan McLeod has 2 goals. Like it felt like it was more the depth of the lineup was able to do it, and it didn't need to be the top-end stars to get it done for them.
Yeah, 100% agree. And not only that, I think just the inherent scoring touch. I mean, you score 2 goals in 3 games. That's dire. And outside of the New York Rangers, few teams have really been stuck in the mud offensively quite like Buffalo, so it was nice to see the big offensive outburst. And yeah, Maryland is a backup goalie in Ottawa, but again, you're still playing a respectable team. This is not San Jose. This is a decent draw. I think the one thing though that I come back to, and yeah, 4 games is 4 games, even calling it a tiny sample size is probably an overstatement. I do want to, though, the one thing that I'm curious about, over the last couple of years, especially 2 years ago when the Sabres really felt, I don't want to call them good. They were not good, but they were certainly competitive and definitively competitive at 5-on-5, where I at least for Sabres fans who are at peak frustration like Trav, give me any reason for hope. What I would always come back to is, okay, well, the most important game state, which is 5-on-5, the Sabres have actually been a pretty competitive team, and typically that is not just a good indicator of how you're doing today. It's a very positive indicator of, future wins, how you stack points in the standings, whether you can reach the playoffs, because relying on an elite power play or elite penalty kill, it's too volatile, right? So you want to win those 5-on-5 minutes. And the reason I bring that up is the one thing the Sabres have not done this year is win those 5-on-5 minutes. And I think maybe to your point, the core, some of the core players, not Alex Tuch's line, that line's been fantastic at 5-on-5 even to start this year. But there have been some pretty, top of the lineup players on both sides of the aisle, like the Rasmus Dahlin pairing, for example, has been outscored 5-2 to start the year 5-on-5. Like there's pockets. Tage Thompson's been outscored 4-1 5-on-5 to start the year. There's pockets of this lineup that you would have expected, even for an otherwise, mediocre or slightly below team, considering their track record and the fact that they have been able to skate with most of the teams in the league at 5-on-5. Bit of a slow start there, something I'm definitely watching. You don't know how much the goaltending factor plays in here because the Sabres, I think it's fair to say, are not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Well situated in net right now. And I do think that's going to be a headwind that challenges throughout the year. But the one thing I'm eager to see kind of through the rest of October, November is can the Sabres kind of get in a rhythm here at 5-on-5? Because if nothing else, that really has been their one core strength over the last couple of years. And we haven't seen it to start this year.
Travis Joseph, TSN, here on the Westser Hotline. Sabres 8-4 last night against the Ottawa Senators. You mentioned Alex Tuch, though, a couple times here, Travis, and it looks like those talks for a contract extension have been put on the back burner. The words from Tuch's agent, Brian Bartlett, that we've just put it on the back burner. They were hoping to get a deal done before the season. Getting back on track probably has to be the most imperative thing in order to retain Tuch and keep him as a core piece going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you're 6'4", 220, and you produce like a second liner, you can just basically, I don't want to say name your price, but pretty close to that, especially with the way the cap is expected to move to the upside over the next few years. And, he's a Syracuse native. Like, I'm sure there's things pulling him to stay in Buffalo. I don't think that's dead, far from it. But, the other side of that coin is, if you look at Tuck's career, right, I mean, the guy went from a historically as good as it gets winning franchise in Vegas to, okay, closer to home, enjoying his time in Buffalo, but we're getting close to the finish line of that current deal, and I think you hit the nail on the head. If the Sabres brain trust and coaching staff can't give Tuch some real indications that this team is rebounding in the right direction, there's obviously going to be a fear that this is a player that could be lost for nothing. And yeah, he's 29 years old. He's probably in the peak right now. You're probably paying for diminishing returns going forward, but where exactly and how exactly do the Sabres replace a player the caliber of Tuck internally? I think that would be quite the stretch, at least on day one. And there's clearly an appetite from the organization to keep him retained. It's going to cost them a pretty penny. And, you know, one of the other side of the coin that the Sabres are unfortunately dealing with, when you have a great team, and I'm not a big believer in that, you know, these teams that are in no income tax states have a massive advantage. I actually think the underrated or less talked about advantage is players signing friendly deals with teams because they know those teams are well run and always are contending for a title. That matters to players quite a bit. And if you're a team like the Sabres, you may have a promising forward outlook over the next few years, especially with the way that some of these prospects are coming into the lineup. But if you look at their 10-year, you know, backwards-looking trajectory, you may have to pay a bit of a premium to get a guy to sign with the Sabres right now, because that the magnetic effect of, oh yeah, come here and win a title, that's not something the Sabres can really sell right now. So obviously a pivotal year for the Sabres across the board this season, but certainly pivotal in terms of how it informs whether or not Tuck is going to stay long-term.
One of the bright spots so far to start this year, because the Sabres are only 1-3 last night, albeit was great, but they did start the year 0-3. It was not due to a lack of goaltending, though, Travis. Alex Lyons looked pretty darn good to start. It really has been the offense, but for a team that's sort of been the calling card of what's been going wrong, they just need goaltending. Lyon, at least I think to many of us, has looked pretty good. What have you seen from him?
I mean, he's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing with Alex Lyon is, and this is not to diminish Alex Lyon because he's in the league, right? But these journeyman-type goalies, there's probably 10 or 15 Alex Lyons around the league in any given year, and you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle a little bit, right? I mean, if you look at Lyons' trajectory or his track record, you know, he played decently with Philly, played decently with Carolina. I mean, he's got the hallmark numbers of a backup goalie. And, you know, if you're Buffalo, you're just hoping just once can we get a bounce from a guy, you know, who might give us 30 or 35 games over the given season, but he can stop 91% of the shots faced. I mean, if Buffalo can get that from Alex Lyon, I mean, they're kissing the ground that he walks on because of how dire the goaltending situation has been. I have to say, obviously, it's, you know, we're talking about four games here, and any goalie can look great or horrible over a four-game stretch. But no doubt, they have been respectable increase to at least start the year, which is, I don't know, orders of magnitude further along than I thought they would be. I remember when I was doing every summer in August, I grade the depth charts of every single team. I grade the wingers, the forwards, the blue line, the goalies, every single depth chart. It's actually self-informative in many respects, helps me understand how the puts and takes of offseason, how teams are set up to enter the year. And I thought the Sabres had one of the most interesting dichotomies you could find around the entire league. I graded their blue line as, I want to say it was a tier one or tier two blue line, one of the six or seven best in the entire NHL. But goaltending, I was having a really hard time not putting them dead last. And it's not that they would necessarily perform to dead last this year, but there was very little to give you confidence that this tandem that they were planning on icing had big upside or big potential. You're basically hoping and praying for respectability. But to your point, and what I think Lyons at least brought in the early parts of October, is they're getting okay goaltending. So now the pressure and the burden and the onus shifts on the rest of the skater group. For many years, that group's had a, I think, valid excuse of the goaltending's awful behind us. Going 1-3 with this caliber of goaltending behind you in 2025, I think the Sabres lineup's a little better than that. So I think it does leave you wanting for a little bit more in the win column right now.
Travis, going around the league now, and kind of referencing back to our last conversation when, you know, dreams are only dreams, Connor McDavid picked the fun option. Only a 2-year extension in Edmonton. The pressure cooker for the Oilers organization is going to be incredibly intense over these next couple of years here with McDavid only agreeing to a 2-year deal.
There's no doubt about that. And I think that was, I don't even think there's much up for debate here. McDavid clearly made three points when he signed that deal. Number one, I'm going to give you the cap flexibility to add, and I'm going to take a heavily discounted deal to do it. Number two, I'm putting you on notice that, hey, look, you have heard me publicly many times over, like any, you know, elite championship-minded player. I am frustrated when we fall short, and we have fallen short, and we have fallen short not because of anything that I'm doing offensively or my team's doing offensively. It's all in the back end. It's all in net. It's all in the crease. And you guys need to figure out a way to shore things up, and I'm giving you a two-year notice or a two-year runway to get it done. The third piece, which is the harbinger, is, well, what happens if they don't deliver a winner or title or contender? It's, you know, it's interesting. From a human standpoint, right, like every person calculates this differently, right? Some people are overweight. You know, I want to live where I was close to home. Some people are overweight. I want to get away from home. Some people say, I want maximum financial security. Some people will say, I want the best odds of winning a title. Let's not lose sight of one thing, though, in McDavid's interest here. When you've got, let's say, 2 sigma, 3 sigma confidence that the cap is going to be moving to the upside as aggressively as it has been, especially considering how flat it's been over the last 5 years, and you're a player the caliber of McDavid, even if you had won a Stanley Cup in Edmonton, there is probably a good argument that, you know what, you can name your price whenever you want 2 years from now, so why don't we just do this year to year? It's exceptionally, exceptionally uncommon in the NHL for a variety of reasons, but you have started to see this with real high-end blue-chip talent in the NBA. You know, guys like LeBron, Kevin Durant, some of these guys have not signed the classic $200 million Supermax contracts. They'll sign the 1 year, $40 or $50 million deal and reload the chamber the following year. And the idea is, one, I'm bullish and confident that the league is going to grow from a cap standpoint. Two, I'm going to cash into it. And three, if I am, I'm in my late 20s, early 30s, and I'm really championship hunting right now because I know I'm at the peak of my career, I want to see what that landscape and that setup looks like. And even though McDavid may have taken the fun out of the trade viability this year, I still am a believer that we will see. We saw a couple of them last year. I'm still a believer we still have real potential of seeing big name trades over the next couple of years because of that same cap wrinkle. Right? News came out today: Artemi Panarin and the Rangers do not sound remotely close. And I'm still on Sidney Crosby watch. I know he re-upped with Pittsburgh, but the Penguins, whenever they want and whenever Crosby, gives them the signal, they can move him, restock the cupboards in a blink. He goes chasing the championship. You know he's going to sign the retirement deal back with Pittsburgh anyway. Let him go chase the title. Let Pittsburgh restack the cupboards. I think there's still a few very interesting names out there, but at least right now, McDavid doesn't seem like he's one of them.
And we'll see what happens in a couple of years there, Travis, because that's where the real chaos will begin, like you said there. But unfortunately, I'm up against the clock here. I'd love to talk hockey more with you all day here, Travis, but we got to get going and pay the bills. But thanks for coming on. Always appreciate talking with you, and we'll do again sometime soon.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Travis Yost, TSN on the West Hur Hotline. I got to get to break here and get things ready for Chopin Bulldog at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Last hour here of Kramer and Jones, last segment. Until we're back tomorrow, Zach and I will be in at 1 o'clock. Thank you to Travis Yost of TSN talking hockey with us in the last segment. Thanks to everyone that called, by the way. Appreciate talking with all of you as we've had ourselves a fun little afternoon. The fun keeps going, though, because Chopin Bulldog will be coming up next. And right off the rip, they're going to have Dan Schulman on. So I'm going to make sure we get ourselves out of here in a timely manner. Why? Because I am dedicated to the clock. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been Kramer and Jones. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.